Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Hour number 3 already. All right. Let's go down south and get with our good friend Rihanna De La Cruz and see what she is doing this morning. Rihanna, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mickey. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, man. You, at least you got a voice this week.
I know it. Yeah, I am. Last 2 weeks seems like I've been just battling sicknesses. I mean, it started off with an infection, and it
Goodness.
Turned into the sinus infection. And when I actually went to the hospital New Year's Eve because nobody was open. And I was like, gosh, I've got to get relief. And I was fishing Thursday, so I had to. So, but feeling much better now.
That's good. I can see where y'all sinuses jack with you down there, because when I was down there for a week deer hunting, and man, there was no humidity, and it was so dry and dusty, and
it starts to wear on you. Right. I truly believe that it's the salt cedar, because
you may be allergic to them.
Oh, I believe it. I know I'm allergic to cedar.
Yeah.
You know, cedar trees, you know, in Austin, when they bloom, the sky turns yellow and it leaves that yellow dust everywhere. And I mean, right. it would affect me big time. But anyways, enough about the boring stuff. I'm sitting here in Port Mansfield. I've got my two rigs right here. I was just fixing the time some new leader and oil up my reels. Just do the little routine that I do every morning. Right. I like to oil up the bearings and whatnot on the reels every time before I go out. You know, even though I've been sick, I've still been fishing. Through it, you know.
Well, it's hard to get well doing that, but that's life of a guide, huh?
Yeah, you just gotta you gotta tough through it, and you know, I think I'm pretty tough. I've been through some pretty tough days where the drainage is so thick, and you're out there and you're trying to put your clients on a good fish, and you know, they've planned that trip months ahead. If you're not running a fever, you're not throwing up, you know what? You can still go out there and fish. And so,
yeah, I've even run trips with a fever, low-grade fever, yeah, before. Man, it's...
Yep. It's tough, but that's just part of the game. And luckily for us, being out there, it gives us a sense of relief. It does for me. It calms my anxiety. You know, it calms the nerves you're able to escape the sickness for a little bit when you're out there. But man, come at the end of the day, whenever you put that boat up on that boat lift and you start washing it, that's when that downgrade starts and it hits you right away.
Right.
But when you're out there, it doesn't really quite affect you. But, you know, we had this big cold front blow through Monday and Tuesday. And I was booked both days. We had a good friend of mine down here. She's a guide down here, too. And we had a ladies' retreat, which was, of course, booked and planned months ahead. So these ladies come from all over, and they come to fish, and they're coming to learn. They're coming to get on a big trout. And so, you know, I told them, I said, man, it's gonna be a Western out there. You know, we're just gonna ease out. You know, find some decent looking water, the most decent water I could possibly find, and we're gonna power pole down and get after it. And water was, of course, churned up. It was gusting 40 miles an hour.
Oh yeah.
It was brutal. The water temperature hadn't dropped yet. You know, it was still in the 60s, right, but it was dropping pretty quick. So the water wasn't too bad, but the air temperature was tough. Mm. And so, you know, some ladies caught some nice trout, and we caught lots of reds. They were, you know, in those potholes. Once the wind started laying down later in the day, you could start, and the sun was out, which was good. Man, that helped big time. But once that sun came out, you could start to see the coloration, the potholes in the grass, and
right.
And so you throw in those potholes, and as soon as that lure would hit the water, the reds would come up and just grab it. You know, they were in a little frenzy. And it was like that, you know, for those 3-4 days when it was blowing. You know, we had another little front, you know, following it too. So, you know, it was the water temperature has dropped drastically. Right now, yesterday it was 44, 45 degrees. And, you know, of course, up shallow, you get in that sand, it's even colder. It's,
yeah,
you know, that water up shallow.
Sand doesn't hold the heat like mud does.
No, it doesn't. And it heats up and it cools down really quick. So, you know, of course, yesterday our wind laid. Sun came out, that line of overcast clouds started moving out slowly. Mm. But, you know, leading up to the big cold front, you know, we were starting to gain patterns, you know, and that's always how it goes. You get on a good pattern for, you know, a couple weeks, and there was a lot of grass. The grass was still really bad. Water temperature was, you know, upper 70s, low 80s. Some days, the hot days, it was reaching up to 84, which is crazy. We had some people wet waiting, you know, in early January and late December. And it was just, it compared to last year, it's totally different. You know, by late December last year, water temperature was already, you know, in the 60s, low 60s. All that floating grass had, you know, had moved out because of the fronts. And, you know, we weren't dealing with as much floating grass as we were later into the year and early this year, like we weren't last year. So, you know, totally different mindset, different patterns. And then once this cold front started, you know, we started getting ready, mentally preparing for what was fixing to happen. And of course, at first, it's always a culture shock. Mm-hmm. You know, you're used to the warm air temperature. You're used to being comfortable. You're used to, you know, not having to pack on so many layers. And then within literally, you know, three to five days, that water dropped, you know, 25 degrees quick. And that along with the air temperature, you know, at first, you know, like yesterday, you know, we fished pretty early and, you know, stepping out first thing, you know, it's like, gosh, it hits you, you know, you have to acclimate and get your mind right to really focus on fishing rather than the pain.
Yeah. Because
them toes go numb pretty quick, you know. But it's just a big transition for a lot of anglers too. Now it's not just physically, it's mentally too. And you know, the group of ladies I fished with yesterday, good friends of mine, and you know, we talked a lot about that last night, about the mindset, about the whole thing. And it's really truly, and it's just, it goes for golf. And that's why, you know, growing up playing competitive golf, I believe, has really helped me in as far as the mindset part of fishing. And it really and truly, it's not anything real, you know, it's really simple, really. When you really think about it, it's real simple. You know, you get your head right, you go out there and you just execute it. And that's the same way in golf. I mean, you have the think box, you have the play box. You know, the more time you spend in that think box, the more you're gonna overthink it. And then when you step into that play box, you're gonna choke. You know,
that's it. No folding under pressure.
No, and you know, it's this time of year, you can tend to get a little hard on yourself. And one of my girlfriends, she was, you know, telling me how she sometimes gets down on herself. And I said, you know what? Sometimes we are our own worst enemy when we start doubting, or we start questioning, and start, you know, in your mind, you're like, man, why?
That's when you start to fold up like a quail, when you start questioning yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I told my friends, I said, you know, There's not many anglers, and I'm not going to narrow it down to women. There's not many anglers or people that are out there on a day like today grinding. We fished till about 5 yesterday. We were out there for a long time.
Man.
And you know, it was a one bite kind of day. I talked to several other people that, and you know, they said it was slow or the bite was tough. You know, I don't think a lot of people caught a lot of dinks. They caught, you know, if they got a bite, it was solid.
It was a good,
you know,
one.
5 pounder, five solid to fish. 7 pounder, right? Yeah. And so, you know, yesterday was that kind of day. Once that high pressure sat in, we had a little bit of breeze, but up shallow, that sun heated up that water up shallow, and then all of a sudden that mullet started activating as well as the fish, and so our bite wasn't until later in the day. I have a custom corky that I've been wanting to throw for a while, and I'm just waiting for the right time. It's a Jose So it's a custom Corky Jose. It's got black dots on it. It looks like a trout. Jose yeah. Trout, I think is what it's called. And it's gold with gold shimmer. It's just a beautiful,
I bet that is cool looking.
In that clear water and those deeper potholes, when the sun is out, that thing just shimmers, and it looks like a big trout moving through that water. Well, yesterday I tied that thing on with my CS Henry rod, and I like to throw that Henry rod with those corkies. It just loads up better. And I had both ladies on each side of me, and I was just chunking that thing a mile. I knew there was something in front of us. I was like, man, there's got to be something. We see a little bit of bait flip in, you know, right before that moon started rising. And I lifted my rod tip up, just let that corky just waddle in those potholes. And I mean, this trout, she came up, and this was the only bite I had all day long. From 8 o'clock in the morning to about 5 in the afternoon, one bite day. And this trout came out of that pothole, and she hammered that corky. And I was like, oh, my gosh, yes. She came out of the water airborne and just lost it. She was just under 7 pounds. Yeah,
you hooked her deep, man. Make her jump like that. Hey, let me knock this break out, Rihanna. I'll be right back at you. Hang on a second. All right. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back.
All right, I'm still here.
I had a girl.
Tying on a boogeyman as we speak.
The old boogie. Boogie wood.
Yeah,
What rod would that you mentioned a while ago you like to throw with corkies? Because it loads
it's
up.
A, It's a Henry Rod. It's actually a Jay Watkins series, a Torquay special. And so this one here, it's got a sensitive rod tip, but it's a little bit more stiff than, you know,
it has a faster taper.
Right. Yeah, so
towards the mid-range, the rod, that's why it loads up so quick.
Yes, and it you know, it's sensitive enough to where, man, you can really feel them grab it when they do, and it gives you time to load up, you know, on her. But I love that rod. That's the rod that I choose to throw heavier baits with, specifically a Corky, just because it handles the weight of the Corky better than any other rod that I've thrown.
It probably works good with like a Double D too.
Oh yeah, and you can with the Double D XL. Yeah, the XLs, you definitely want to throw that Corky special rod with. Now the Priest, you can get away with throwing the soft on XL and just a regular Double D with it. You can still load up pretty well.
I got
well
me one of those new Priests for Christmas. Sarge sent me one. I can't believe
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Best That's Christmas awesome. Present I got this year, other than my, you know, hunt, but deer hunting. But
you're going to love it.
I can't wait to use it. It's real light, and I spooled up a brand-new salty hundo and put
Heck
it on
yes.
there. It's a real light combo. It feels really good.
Oh, yeah. What's that, like 5 ounces? Or?
I don't know. It's light. I mean, featherweight.
Yeah, it's almost like you're holding nothing, but that's the whole point. With
you make a lot of cast all day with that. You can just keep chunking.
When you think you're going out next?
Hopefully this week. Hopefully, the weather holds. We got that front today, afternoon coming in, and then tomorrow might be a little iffy, but Tuesday and Wednesday looks like a window. And then we got another front next weekend.
Yeah, it looks like they're continuing to roll in, you know, and we're going to have days here and there in between where we're going to get a little window, and it can get tough when it gets like that, you know, as far as getting your guys in for a good day, you know, to where you kind of avoid the worst part of the wind, which, you know, down here, you can really get away with it. You know, you get out there on those flats, and it ain't so bad. But getting out there, is a little western.
Yeah, y'all can tolerate a lot of wind way better than we can up this way. You know, with our open water, sometimes it's just, you know, it's not wise to cross it. Yeah, it's brutal.
No, yeah, that's how it is in Baffin. That's one thing I don't miss about Baffin is the open waters and there's certain ways you got to navigate through there where you can't get around it. You just got to go through it and finding the best way to ride the waves to where it's mostly, you know, safe and efficient and easy on not only you, but your clients. It's tough. So that's why I've got that V-hole coming. You know, it'll handle those big waves a lot better than any other boat, so can't wait to get that hull. But but down here, you know, you just got to, once you get out of the harbor, from the harbor all the way over to the east side, it's not very far. But luckily, if the wind is going from the southeast or the, you know, back out from the north or northwest, you can ride those waves perfectly, you know, straight out, and it's an easy. Very easy ride, you know, once you get out there. But but yeah, going back to yesterday, that bite, I mean, it was, it, like I said, it was a one bite kind of day, you know, and we did catch a couple of trout. I didn't catch any red. Like I said, that was the only bite I had all day. I did get whacked one time. I had switched over to that Boogeyman soft dime, and something came up and surfaced bull right behind it and tacoed it. Yeah. Not completely, but it bent it, and I missed. You know, that was early on in the day, late morning. You know, around 10 o'clock, 11:30. But the sun wasn't quite out, so it wasn't obviously not a fully committed bike. She just kind of rolled on it and bowled up behind it, and I was like, man, I don't know what that was, but you know, whatever it was, I felt her grab it and she let go. But other than that, I told the girls, I said, I don't want to catch anything small. I just want one big bite. That would just make my day. I just want one big bite. And sure enough, the patience and the, you know, the persistence paid off. And I talk, you know, and I tell my guys and friends that fish with me, I always tell them, you know, don't let the, you know, couple of hours where we're not getting bit, you know, discourage you to where, you know, your shoulders start slumping, you start, you know, you're not casting as deliberately, you're not putting as much effort into, because you're getting down, you're getting, you know, you start doubting, you start questioning every cast.
You know, and when it's a slow bite like that, and you know, right. You can just tell it's going to be a grind all day, and it's hard to stay focused and on your game to where when you do get that bite, you remember what you were doing to get it, plus, right. You know, being able to set that fish immediately and not miss it.
Exactly. And that was part of the deal yesterday, too, and for me as well, you know, because even though I was still, you know, I'm still feeling a little bit under the weather, and so that can be a distraction. You know, any little pain, any little thing that you feel can be a distraction from focusing on that cast, focusing on the retrieve, focusing on, you know, how you're twitching the rod tip. And so in the morning, I was in a lot of pain. I've got these sinus infections, they affect your teeth, and I have a really bad toothache from the sinus infection.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's been keeping me up at night. And so in the morning, I was in a lot of pain. So it was a distraction from casting, from, you know, feeling confident. But later as the day went on, I started to feel better. And by that time, it was around 3:30 when I caught that trout. And of course, it was, you know, the sun was out. It was starting to get warmer. And, you know, when you have an excitement towards a certain color, a bait, you know, profile that you just want to throw. And one of the girls that fished with me yesterday, you know, these are friends of mine, you know, she wanted to throw a corky, and that she's not exactly all that confident with corkies. And I told her, I said, you know, here's how I work it. This is just how I work it. And I said, this also depends on the structure and where we're fishing and how I'm fishing. And I said, you know, these potholes where they're deeper, you've got lot grass scattered potholes, you know, I'm essentially working it a little bit faster to run it through that grass so it doesn't catch. And then once I get it over a pothole, I keep my rod tip up and I let it waddle in there. I slow it down around those potholes. I said, you know, that's just how I do it in this structure here. Now, if we're in an area where there's a drop off or, you know, it's nothing but sand, you know, I'll work it a lot differently because of the bottom structure. But, you know, trying to get her to understand, you know, why I do a certain thing and why I work it this way. And she was catching a lot of grass. And I said, you know, it's totally fine. There's a lot of grass here. But, you know, later on we got to talking about it. And I said, you know, having confidence in whatever you're throwing is very crucial, especially in days where it's important to have confidence in that lure, where, you know, you're on the line or you're fishing a tournament or whatever. You know, don't throw that lure that you're not so sure about, or that rod that you just got, or that new reel you just got that you haven't used yet. Use old trusty. I don't care what it is. you know, that one lure that you just have confidence with. And I said, you know, and that lure for me yesterday was that Jose right there, you know. And I had been waiting to throw that lure in the sun because of how sparkly and just,
yeah, that gold radiates so big time in clear water and sun out like that.
It does.
A lot of times just that gold flash will draw a strike for you.
Right. And it's so bold through the water and those little black specks. Sure. Perfect.
That'd be a good color for up here this time of year,
too. Oh, man. Absolutely. That color there is just, it shines through. You can see it, you know, the first cast all the way out there, you can see it is how bold those gold shimmer and glitter is in that corky. And I haven't thrown this one much. You know, I was talking to Jay the other day, and we had all the corkies laid out on the table, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, one color that I want, I don't have it. And he dug and dug and dug and found it. And I was like, that's the one. I said, you better give it to me. He did. I said, I'm going to throw that one. Once that sun comes out, I'm throwing that one. I said that I've been wanting that color. You know, I've been sick. I haven't, you know, just wanted to, felt like going to the store and buying it. And that's why I want that color because I just feel like it's going to draw a bite because of the gold shimmer. And, you know, I've been throwing a lot of gold in the last, you know, half year, really. You know, the watermelon gold glitter, golden brim, watermelon copper glitter, which has a lot more copper. It has a little hints of gold here and there,
yeah,
but mostly copper. But, you know, we had all that pinfish in our bays. That's gone now. The pinfish, the shrimp, all the small, that's all gone now. But, you know, that gold little shimmer, and now mainly our bays are mullet driven now. You can see all that mullet, and it's good, ideal size finger mullet. But you know, that I think too that, you know, they've been feeding a lot on those pinfish, and those pinfish they've got little hints of copper and gold stripes down them.
Oh, they do. Yeah, it all highlights, especially with sunlight. And the fish react to that. They notice.
Right.
Let me do this break. Yeah. I'll be right back again. Hang on there.
Okay.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike, right there at 227 Dike Road. And folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, along with their diffusers and regulators, plus they refill your bottles right there at the store. If you need more info, just call Jason Cogman at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. If you're looking for those big 9-12 count shrimp, they've always got them. Great price, great availability. Other sizes, 15, 18 count. You name it, they have it. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food. And crawfish has been available when they have them, and they've been doing them up right there at the Cajun Grill. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. All right. It is 6:39 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back.
Where were we?
Where were we? I forgot.
Talking about custom corkies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm tying my new leader on right now. You know, for that corky special rod, I want to keep throwing that Jose today. You know, that sun's supposed to be out a little bit. When it does, I want to be throwing that that Corky there. You know, just because I've got confidence in it. And you know, when you've got confidence in a lure, you better throw it. You know, you better tie it on and throw it, you know, with the confidence that is within you, you know. And that I truly believe that little bit of confidence is really what separates, you know, as far as the mindset goes, you know, it's just a good mindset. It creates a good mindset, you know, every wade, every cast, every, you know, it's just a good thing. And so, you know, I was telling one of the ladies, you know, I was telling you about, she didn't have that much confidence with a Corky. And later on, after, you know, after we were off the water, you know, we kind of recap our day and talk about, you know, the things that we did and why and what we could do differently and whatnot. And I told her, I said, you know, I love that, you know, you gave it a shot and you're willing to better, you know, your Corky skills, you know. I said, it's a tough bait to work. It's a precision bait, you know. Oftentimes, you know, you have to be a little patient with it. And, you know, we're just getting to this transition to where, you know, I'm working, and I like to work lures really fast. You know, I'm fishing aggressively. I'm reeling, casting, reeling back in real fast. Mm-hmm. That's just how I like to work my lures. And so when you switch over to a Corky and water temperature drops, you know, conditions are changing, it's getting really cold. Oftentimes my Corky's flying out of the water, you know, because I'll find myself working it a little too fast.
Right.
And I have to slow myself down. And I told a friend of mine, I said, you know, I even fall into this impatient trap, you know. Yeah, you have to give it enough time to let it fall in those little potholes, to let it work in the middle column, you know, and it's fine. Those trout will come up and grab it. They will. If they're hungry enough, they'll come up and you'll see them swirl on it. But oftentimes I like to keep my bait in the lower to middle column, and those potholes, just let that Corky just waddle in there.
But, well, that's how you get those bigger trout bites too, is, you know, in that lower column like that, because they like to lay down and look up.
That's right.
Yep. You talk about, you know, confidence and, you know, all these things that come into play and trying to keep your composure. Probably the worst thing for me ever was, like, in a tournament late in the day when you're just, you know, mm-hmm. you're down to 1 hour or a few minutes, and, man, trying to slow everything down. It just, man, you're pressing so hard to get that one more good bite.
Right. You know,
before the day's up and time's up. And a lot of times you'll just, you can't help it. You just overwork your lure. You just,
you blow right through it. Right.
Man, it's mentally challenging big time.
Yeah. Yeah. That, in that case there, yeah, that is mentally challenging. That's like torture. Mental torture, you know?
You know, because my motto always is cover more water, catch more fish. But when you need that big bite, you need to, you know, you need to practice just the opposite. And, and slow everything down and
yep.
relax if that's possible. It's hard to relax when the clock's ticking, you know.
It sure is. You know, yesterday when we were recapping, you know, we were talking about, you know, of course, Corkies, and when we all switched over, as soon as I got that bite, everybody switched over to a Corky. And I think, you know, since it was so late in the day, we knew that, you know, we were fixing to head in pretty quick to get ready for the next day. And, you know, you kind of start to get a little impatient, you know, working faster, like you said.
Yeah.
And so, you know, right when I got that bite, usually I'll keep my rod up at about 45 degrees, you know, to the water. And I'll reel about three, four times, let it fall, bump, bump, bump. reel out 3-4 times. And, of course, in between there, I'm letting it fall to work the middle column. Well, yesterday I kind of changed it up. I lifted my rod tip up way high to kind of get over those taller grass beds that were out there, because it was grabbing that corky, and then I'd let it fall in those potholes for a lot longer. So it was a very slow retrieve. It was a slow, very, little bump, and of course, however much you twitch that rod tip is how much that corky's going to move. And so, it's just a real size. It was just a subtle bump.
Well, when you get it down good, the way you're fishing there, that's one of my favorite ways to fish down there is working those potholes like that when those big trout are laying in that grass waiting for, an ambush point. And, you keep that corky up high, and then when you bring it into the edge of that pothole, then you just stop it and just slowly let it sink. But you can control how fast it sinks with a rod tip like you're talking about.
Exactly.
And sometimes you can just take and quiver that tip and just vibrate that bait a little bit. And
all it takes.
Come on with it.
I'm telling you, I thought I had a red on, and then I saw it come out of the water. And I was like, and I looked over at my friend. I said, "That ain't no red." I said, "You might want to come over here." It was awesome. I mean, she just came up and crashed. But, thumps like that, they basically pull it out of your hand. And you're so light as far as the touch. You've got touch.
Well,
and
yeah,
I always say that
you
it's
just
off.
Barely got a barely firm grip on that rod.
Right.
You're trying
very
to,
light.
Anybody, you watch people that squeeze their rod and they're just all, they're
tense.
All tense and everything. They're not going to get the bites, man. You got to be loose.
That
rod basically pivots between my ring finger and middle finger.
Right.
And my thumb's off the reel, all that. A lot of times you can get that one big bite. You better
hold
be able
on.
To close that hand fast.
Right. And that's where
you got to lose it.
Yep. That's where the focus comes in, And being focused, like I said earlier, anything can be a distraction. Even just looking out into the distance at another boat come in, or, watching somebody else, or paying attention to something that really doesn't matter. And I fall into that too when I'm out there. I'm like, and I start thinking about it. I'm like, man, it's just me getting bored, and there's little moments in there where I'll get off track as far as where my head is at, where my nose is, my nose should be straight forward towards the lure out there. And instead it's looking over my shoulder at the boat over there, drifting and the music blaring. And I'm like, man, that really doesn't matter. They're over there. They're doing their thing. But it's, it's a form. I'm distracting myself. I get bored.
It is a distraction.
I look over.
there's a place for all that mess. It's not out there on the water, man.
No. And nothing against them. Nothing against that type of fishing. But, there's always those little things that can distract you from a good bite. And there's been several times when that's happened to clients and to myself where we're not paying attention. We're, might be talking, even just talking. And it could be about anything, but you're looking over at somebody else or you're talking to somebody else, and all of a sudden you get bit right there.
Right.
Hard, and you miss it, So when we recapped last night, we talked about that. We touched base on, focusing and how important it is, especially this time of year when it is a one bite kind of day, and you're looking for any given cast can be that one bite, and you're grinding, you're working hard towards it, and you're doing everything possible to get that one bite, and it is a grind. I mean, you got to stay tuned and focused, and your breaks are short. You go back to the boat, get a drink of water, get a bite, and you're back after it. And so feeling mentally prepared and physically is a big deal. And I've learned that in the last 2 weeks, being sick, you start to appreciate the days when you're feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
And so having to be out there while you're dealing with an ailment, you know, even if it's a little slight infection or a cough or a runny nose, anything can distract you from what the goal is out there. And that's to, you know, for me, it's a, you know, a 6+ pounder. You know, that's just my goal. You know, everybody has different goals when they're out there. You know, some people just want to bring a couple redfish in. Some people want to just get bit. Some people just want to, you know, catch a 25-inch trout, you know. But
well, when you're fishing for big fish like that, this day and age, it takes a lot of discipline. You got to be able to take the, you know, all the slow with the, you know, slow periods before the next bite and all that. That's
right.
You know, everybody's not cut out for that. That's big fish fishing. And, you know, back in the day, we just don't realize how fortunate we were when, man, you get 30 big bites a day. Now you're lucky to get 1, 2, 5. You know, and down your way, I mean, the odds are a lot better, naturally.
Right.
But,
yes.
I know what you mean. It's a whole different game than just regular fishing, just going for bites and catching little ones to medium to, you know, and occasionally somebody will bust a unicorn. But when you hit and weigh these flats and you're fishing for big fish, it can be one of the most boring things you can do until a big bite comes. I mean, that's right. That's the way it is.
I always say it's you're playing checkers rather than chess. I mean, you're playing chess rather than checkers. That's what that's how I always compare it, you know, this type of fishing compared to just going out there and getting bit. You know, I get clients that, you know, they just want to go out there and keep a couple. But this here, you know, you're deliberately fishing. Everything is deliberate. Every cast, every, you know, little wade, you know, well, we're going to walk this way. Why are we walking that way? Why are we moving the boat this way? Why are we idling up here? Why are we, you know, there's a reason for everything. And when the wind is really calm, you know, I'll shut her down and the boat will be 1,000 yards away to where, you know, it's like untouched territory, basically. You know, I always worry about something spooky. You know, and yesterday we had a lot of airboat traffic in one area. I mean, I counted probably 8 to 10 airboats, and some of them ran pretty close to us. And, you know, those little things can throw you off mentally. You know, you got to know that vibration, that noise, that those things are loud. I mean, they are loud. And that noise puts off a vibration. I mean, you got to know those trout. It affects those trout. It spooks them off. It might throw them off to where they won't bite, you know, till way later because they've got spooked. They got, you know, thrown off of their pattern wherever they were from that loud noise or the gunshots. You know, the we got duck hunters in certain areas and guns blazing. Then all of a sudden, then airboats. You know, it can sound like the wild, wild west down there in certain areas. And, you know,
BBs
that's
landing around you while you're wade fishing.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of, and that was early in the morning, you know, kind of threw us off. I said, you know, I don't necessarily, I don't like this. I said, you know, I'm nothing against, you know, people hunting back there. I mean, that's a great area to hunt, but, you know, as far as for what we're trying to achieve at the given moment, I believe that's going to hinder what our goal is back here. So, you know, we went to several areas, but I like to go in an area that what I say seems untouched. You know, there might be a little bit of boat traffic, but you know what? In certain areas down here, I truly believe that those trout are used to that traffic, you know, because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of boats running, you know, running over, you know, good structure, running, you know, drop-offs, parallel drop-offs. They're running, you know, right in front of these back lakes and these estuaries. You know, you got to know that the fish that live there, that spend a lot of time there, that feed there, that, you know, that produce there, that, you know, just live in that structure. They're yeah. used to that. They've gotten used to the traffic. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, you'll have boats that will run up pretty close, and they'll run parallel to a line that you're fishing, and oftentimes that can be a positive thing. They can push.
Sometimes they'll you know, if there's any deeper fish laying up out there, they'll push them into you too.
Right, so. And that's what I had thought.
It's a catch 22, man, you know, boat traffic,
right.
How people do things sometimes. But, well, Rihanna, yeah, I'm out of time, and looks like you're going to get up around the low to mid 60s today. So that,
yes.
know, about noon or 1 o'clock. So that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good.
Yeah, we're going out at 8. So it's going to be an easy morning. I'm having my coffee and getting my rods and reels ready. My arsenal's ready. I'm ready to go.
It is. Well, I wish you the best of luck today, and hope you get to feeling
you.
Better. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and popping a wade with you, how they get a hold of you?
Well, you can call me at 361-296-5400. I'll be here in Mansfield primarily from, you know, now till February.
Right.
So if you want to come down here and make a wade for some big trout, give me a call.
Come on with it. All right. Rihanna, you have a great Sunday. I hope you catch a big one today. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Mickey. Great
see
talking
ya.
To you.
All right,
I'll see you next week.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. See you. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.